Greetings, time travelers. The reason why I say that is we've been discussing time travel the last couple weeks of our sermon series because we are trying to go back in time to help us actually learn some things to help us become better followers of Christ. So this series is really about remembering. And God says over and over in the Bible to remember this. Remember what we are learning. Remember what to put the high priority on the things of God. But it takes time to remember. The first week of our series, we talked about remembering in a way that sees ourselves as part of the great story of God. We read through the Bible and we often think that that's not us. And that's separate from our lives. But in some ways it is, but in many ways it's not. We are God's people in this day and age living out his story, just as they were God's people living out the story back then. We also learn that we believe that God exists in the eternal now, which means God experiences future, past, present, all at the same moment. He exists outside of time. We don't really get that because we live in linear time. While we don't live in the eternal now, we need to adopt just a little bit more of the eternal now perspective that God has. Last week we talked about remembering as a healing process in our lives. See, Jesus not only wants to heal our current wounds, but there's actually something to be said for going back and remembering the moment and those times where that wound happened, and to see Jesus in that moment with us, and to discover the truth of that moment and the healing of that moment then. Wouldn't you rather much heal yourself at the moment of your wound than to wait 20 years and to try heal it? So there's something to be said for going back. Okay, so we're ready to time travel again. I see our first wormhole. That you see that on the screen, you know we're about ready to jump in time. And we jump to when we were 18 years old. For most of us, that's going back. For a few of us, that's going forward. So we jump to where we're 18 years old, and we were staring up on our, we're laying in our bed, staring up at the ceiling. And there's an angel there, and he's our guide. And he's telling us, this is the moment in your life where you made the worst choice possible. You just didn't make a mistake. You chose to do wrong. Jody was talking about that. You did not follow the right arrow. You messed up. We've all messed up. We've all been there, whether it was 18 or whether it was a different age. We've been there. Did you ever do something so wrong? You're now facing the guilt, the humiliation, the consequences of those actions. And it's so important how you respond to your failure, to your sin. Because we all start to form habits and we all start to form beliefs based around our sinful habits. And the angel wonders and says, well, I wonder what will happen to this 18-year-old. Will it cause them to be defensive and angry? For a lot of people, that's what the mode that they get into after they sin. Well, somebody else's fault. Life's not fair to me. Get defensive and angry. Or maybe they'll become ashamed and feel a lot of guilt over who they are. Oh, woe is me. I'm the most terrible person in the world, and I'm no good, and why did God ever make me? I kind of say that jokingly, but it is no joke. We live in that moment. I have lived in that moment. Or maybe the sin will just actually cause us to be remorseful and humble. Could be a good thing. How will they interpret this change, this failure in their life? How will they remember themselves going forward? How will they view God? What will God think of them, of yourself, after you sin? Will he choose to remember it? Will he choose to forget? But somehow we feel yanked away from God's plan when we sin. That's the reality. So that's why we're traveling today. Okay, so here's another wormhole, I think, we're going to find ourselves in, okay? So that means we're going to time travel. The angel speaks and says, okay, let's jump all the way back to the beginning. You know, in the beginning. And the angel speaks to us. He says, praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed people in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose you in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Did you know that God had a plan for you when he created at the very beginning? Even before he created people, he had a plan for you. That's what this verse talks about. There was a plan of salvation before even people needed saving. Before even they fell in the garden and walked away from God's plan, God knew it. He sees it all, doesn't he? And God knew what we would do when we were 18 years old. And he knew how bad we would fall and how bad we could mess up our life. And yet, he still chose to create you, even knowing all that you would do. The love and the grace of God the Father, for the grace he has for you, started a long, long time ago. And the angel speaks the word of God. He says, in love, he predestined you for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given you in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on you. See, I think we get mixed up with some words here. The word predestined confuses us. And the reason why it confuses us is because we live in time rather than outside of time like God does. We can't help but think linear. So we get words confused. We get predestined confused with predetermined. Or foreknowledge with the word predeterminism or determinism. See, it's hard for us to grasp how God can know our future without determining that future. But I believe in both. I believe in a God who knows your future, but a God who allows you to choose. And the reason why it's confusing to us is because we do not experience the eternal now like God does. Because I believe in scriptures that says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. So if God knew what everybody was going to do, he wouldn't call us to repentance. I mean, he knows, but he wouldn't determine, I should say. If God was going to determine whether we were going to come to repentance, he wouldn't call us to repentance. See, free will, Wesleyans, we're good Wesleyans. We believe in free will. Oh, here's our ride. Looks like it's time for another jump. It's time to jump back again. Let's check in on our 18-year-old self. Okay, so this time, we're lying on the bed. We're thinking about what we did, how we're going to move forward. At this point, the 18-year-old is angry. See, again, the natural response is anger. Anger at yourself, anger at God, angry at other people. Because we feel that pain. And we want to take it out on somebody. So here's our choices. God, myself, other people. And they ask themselves, is this what I've become now since I've done this? Am I a bad person? Am I just going to live this as angry, bitter person, which I don't want to be, but yet I am? Maybe even think of yourself as someone that God is ashamed of. Is that what we're going to become we're processing this and we're thinking about all this, sometimes in the front of our brains, sometimes just deep in the back of our brains, we're struggling with these questions because we've messed up so bad. We don't know where we're going to go. We don't know who we've become. Let's check in this 18-year-old again. Let's give that 18-year-old a little more time. Let's jump again. Okay? So let's jump back again. And this time we have jumped back to the place of the skull around 30 AD. We look up and we see him, Jesus hanging on the cross. The sight of blood. The stench of death. The sounds of pain. More real now than we've ever imagined them to be. And we see him. And the angel speaks and he says, "With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to you the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring all unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that you were the first to put your hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory." See, Jesus came and he condemned the sin of man by taking it on himself. And then he nailed it to the cross. This plan was laid out before the beginning of time because God knew there would be a time when Christ would need to come. See, God always remembers his covenant with his people. And then, at the right moment, he chooses to forget their sin. "Though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." See, sin is a terrible thing in our lives. It messes us up. It makes us think that we're worthless or no good, or it makes us angry, or all these different things for different people. And if we don't confess it, if we don't find forgiveness, if we're not allowed to let God use it for good, it's going to mess us up. See, the problem is God remembers the covenant and forgives the sin, but people do just the opposite. See, God remembers, let me say that again, God remembers the covenant and forgets the sin, and we do just the opposite. We forget the covenant and remember the sin. That's exactly how God doesn't want us to do it. Because God's plan was to restore us once again into unity with him through Christ. See, remembering your sin is good only to a point. It is good to remember your sin only to the point that leads you to repentance and it leads you to bring that to God to receive cleansing. See, science that we've discovered about human nature is that we desire closure. Right? Men with women, you know, when they break up, you know, women was like, "I need closure." And they do. They need closure. And when we experience sin in our lives, when we mess up, Unless we experience forgiveness of God, we will not find closure. Your brain needs closure. It's wired for it. God's forgiveness is the closure your brain desires. Oh, there's our wormhole. It's time to jump again. Time to check in on our 18-year-old selves, see how they are doing. Let's jump back. Let's see, what are we doing here? Are we jumping? There we go, now we're jumping. The 18-year-old looks down, more depressed now than angry. Tears are flowing now. Maybe it's just not quite time yet. We're getting close. Let's see what the 18-year-old is going to do. Let's leave that 18-year-old just for a bit more. Let's travel one more time. We see Jesus again, but he looks a lot better than he did the last time. In fact, he looks really good. And he is speaking to his disciples, and he says, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now that before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no hold over me. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what the Father has commanded me. And the angel speaks to us and says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. It was a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. While many people who grow up in the church have some concept of Jesus, and they know that Jesus is about the cross and sin and forgiveness of sin, even if they haven't experienced it firsthand, they intellectually know it. But most people do not understand the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a mystery, isn't it? The presence of the Spirit is a testimony, for one, to the believer that the grace of God has been accepted in his or her life. It is assurance. The Spirit assures you, yes, you've been saved. But it's not just that. If people will learn and to grow in that Spirit, it takes time, but there's a power in that Spirit to help them overcome future sin. As great as it is to experience forgiveness of sin, don't you want the power to avoid it? To not end up on the bed staring up at the ceiling? Speaking of sin, let's check in one more time. See how the 18-year-old's doing. Let's jump and see what's happening with ourselves at 18 years old. Oh, looks like we're a little bit late. We arrive back just in time to see ourselves, wipe the tears from our eyes, get out of bed and walk out the door. And the angel speaks to us and says, you know, every day people get out of bed and decide how to live. Some days they do well, other days they do not. Free will has its ups and downs for human beings. But those who remember God's plan make better choices. They see how God, from the very beginning, had a plan. The plan for us. Had a plan for our salvation. Had a plan for us when we messed up. Had a plan through the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell in our lives. To make us better. To redeem us, empower us. And those people who never hear the story, or those people who maybe started in the church, often forget this. And that's what this series is about, remembering. We need to remind ourselves this over and over again. Because if we forget it, we are lost. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. I'm going to call the worship team forward as I start to wrap this up. Wraps our adventure today. You know, the last couple of weeks we've had testimonies of people who started their life pretty rough. And they could have easily ended up and stayed on a bad road. But God had a plan. And they realized that God had a plan that was greater than all the bad things they did, all the bad things that happened to them. He could still use them. He could still redeem them. He still believed in that they could still become the great, you know, blossom flower in life. You can too. It is not your frailty. It's not the failures in your life that will determine who you are. It will be determined by how you respond to those failures and how well you can see God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit work in the midst of them. If at this point, I want you always to know that there are people, myself, others, who are willing to pray for you. You're welcome to come forward at the song, kneel, sit. After service, you can grab me, whatever you need to do. Forgiveness will be the closure you have been wanting to have. And it's there ready for you.